Blog Talk Radio.
We're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe to toe. Football.
The old timers, do you remember the names? Like Bronco Nagurski and Night Train Lane. Bulldog Turner, my man Sam Huff. In the snow and the mud, they were still real tough. Crazy Leg Church, and remember Raymond Berry asked me if they hit hard, and I'll say very. Paul, Christian, Buddy, Young Lady Moore. It's them I adore, they seem to always score. Ed Sprinkle, defensive end for those years. Gene Big Daddy Liston was the man to fear. You have Steve Van Buren and Otto Graham. Johnny United had the arm of a superman. We had Charlie Trippi and Gino Marquette. If you're searching for a champion, they're your best bet. Which I could quarterback like Johnny Lou Jack or even Sid Luffin, as a matter of fact. Do you remember Red Brains, the galloping ghost? He could do a 95 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Why ain't Fiddle, Allie Madison? Hey, I remember all those guys from back in the days.
It's the sort of game better than diamond rings. That's why we're here.
Hey. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show. We are live from the CMT Firestorm Studios here in Tampa, Florida. I'm your host, Crosso Mathis, where the theme of the show is to give raw, uncut, unedited, objective analysis on major college and pro football. Let me introduce the panel. Big Tex, what's up?
What's going on, buddy? Let's go.
All right, Cali Mike, what's up?
Yeah, looking forward to it. A lot to talk about.
All right, Shot-Town Mike, what's up?
What's going on, y'all? Getting looking forward for this exciting show. Good old college football NFL talk.
All right, man. We got a lot to talk about today for major college and pro football. We will be here for the next 2 hours. If you want to call in at 347-237-5539. We are excited to hear from your calls. So let's start off with the big thing that happened this weekend in college football. Number one, Alabama knocked off by Texas A&M, Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel. I mean, what happened, and what does this mean going forward for the national championship picture? Let me start with you, Tex. What you think about that?
Well, I got to say, first of all, I'm a little surprised at the – I'm mildly surprised at the success A&M has had this year transitioning over to the SEC. They've always had athletes. I didn't know they would be this good. I mean, they held it down at home against LSU in Florida. Then they go to Tuscaloosa and they win. I thought Sumlin was crazy when he took the job. I thought he was nuts to leave Houston. But I mean, you know, they kind of blow you away a little bit. Competitive. I think I said on the show last week, I felt that Bama, I thought it would be close and that Bama would win, but I remember saying that A&M, you know, from one thing, just looking at them this whole season, is that they just don't play scared. The quarterback he's a skilled quarterback, has a ton of upside. They have a lot of speed. And, you know, this coach, I don't know if people not really talking about Sumlin enough, but Sumlin's done a terrific job. I think they locked down the state of Texas with that one game the other day. And Alabama, you know, it's tough to get to a BCS title game. It's tough to get there again. You just have to have a special kind of team. And while this team is good, it's not the 2011 team. I mean, you just look on the defensive side of the ball what they lost. I mean, how can you recover like that? You understand what I'm saying? And then you had Trent Richardson on offense. He was Bama's best back since he stepped on campus.
I want to address that statement there.
You lose him. I mean, it's just, you know, it's
so you're trying to imply that you're trying to imply that Yeldon and Eddie Lacy were sufficient replacements for Richardson from last year? Is that what you're trying to say?
Clausell, Trent Richardson was a top three pick.
I know, but with the combination of Yeldon and Lacy, you don't think that was – I mean, both these guys were averaging over 6 yards a carry. I mean, you don't think both of them had over 700 yards on the year. That's 1,400 yards right there. That's Trent Richardson type of numbers through 12 games.
Trent Yeldon? How many – do those guys get – do they get on the field of Trent Richardson and still at Bama? No. Why can Yeldon get on the field and make –
All right, we got a lot of stuff. I don't want to dwell too much into this. We got a lot of stuff to get into. So, you know, but anyway, Callie, Mike, what's your opinion before we get to Shawtown? What's your opinion?
It was a very surprising game. What surprised me the most was the mistakes that Texas A&M made and still won. It's letting me know that's a very young Texas A&M team. You know, Manziel's a freshman. They got a lot of, they're a very young team. It's letting me know that if they were a more seasoned team, this could have very well been a blowout. They made a lot of mistakes. Did you watch the game?
Of course, I watched the game. I watched every snap of that game.
Am I lying?
You know he did.
Am I lying, though? Tell the truth. I mean, am I lying? Didn't they not? I mean, they made a lot of mistakes. They made it to where Alabama could have easily came back and won, right?
They made mistakes, yes. Texas A&M made mistakes. Alabama made mistakes, too, to the point where.
Yeah, but it's different when you make your mistakes when you're behind and when you make your mistakes when you're leading.
I just thought that Alabama got caught off guard. They didn't take this game seriously, particularly the backside shoulder route on number 10. Texas A&M took advantage of that because LSU took advantage of that the week before. And I just think second quarter came around, Alabama started to take it serious. But at the end of the day, they couldn't stop that backside shoulder route. Every time it was third down, they just kept converting with the backside shoulder route, And being that they throw the pass where the defensive back can't get to the ball, particularly number 10, unless you have a taller defensive back. So,
according to you, they got the best defensive back in college football.
Well, they do. They had to move him around. So whatever position he wasn't in, they threw it the other direction. So that's exactly what they did.
That's exactly what they did. Last week, he was a D-milliner. Wasn't that him who you was preaching about last week?
He is the best defensive back in the country. He is the best defensive back in the country. But what I'm saying is,
he did his job.
Except,
he must be the best, except for when he plays against Johnny Manziel.
No, Mike. He did his job. He did his job against LSU, and he did his job against Texas A&M. The other defensive back we have, he did not do a good job because he's a shorter guy. So if you have a taller receiver and you do the backside shoulder route, you take advantage of that. If you have the quarterback that can put it in the right position, they take advantage of that. Manziel was able to do that, and what's his name last week was able to do that, even though I think he's a horrible quarterback from up to that game.
First of all, Alabama – that defensive line is not the same. You know, there's no Courtney Upshaw coming off. They don't have no
stars on
that
not.
Defensive line.
Jake Matthews
and that other cat, whoever. I know Jake Matthews is one other tackle. I forget what that other tackle's name is. They was knocking them cats off the line. They weren't.
I don't know about that now. Hold up now. It was more of a throwing type. I don't want to get too much into that.
It wasn't consistent, but there was no penetration from Alabama at all. And when it was, Manziel's moving around in the pockets where, they were either should have stayed at home and kept it contained in a certain blitz, or they should have maybe tried some sort of outside blitz or something like that. But when it was going when it was going head up, it wasn't no penetration.
No. Yeah, that's true. It wasn't no penetration. You're right about that. It wasn't no penetration. And then when you try to blitz them, he took advantage of the blitz. And then
he stayed at home.
They took advantage of the backside shoulder route on number 10. They kept doing that over and over. That's the thing against Alabama now. Hold on. I want to get your opinion on Shawtown. What you got a point? What's your opinion?
Well, I mean, I visualized the game. You know, of course, I didn't see it on TV. I heard some of it on the radio. And I see, Alabama, even though you know, the score was 29-24, Alabama still had a chance to win that game. It made some mistakes. Irv McCarron threw an interception down in the red zone. I mean, with some turnovers on his end, he didn't have one of his best games. So it's like, man, just, you know, even with all that said, they still, you know, had a chance to win that game. But, you know,
exactly.
I kind of, you know, agree, you know, they don't have that pass rusher like the Upshaw guy, you know, like they had last year on the line like they had last year. So it's kind of different. Their scheme is, you know, of course, is their scheme, but not, I guess you could say, you know, the big-time players on the defense they had last year compared to this year is a little different.
Yeah,
but, you know, it was just one of those games where some people were saying Texas A&M was a team that could make it close or maybe could pull out the upset because, I mean, they've been making some noise. So it wasn't like Texas A&M didn't just come on the radar like that. They've been on the radar for quite a while.
Well, I think the thing with Texas A&M, this is what you got to do, man. You got to obviously you got to have a defensive line that can penetrate, and then you got to have physical corners. You got to jam them. You do that bump and run. You got to jam them off the line of scrimmage, take them off their timing. Alabama wasn't really doing that, so you know, if you don't have those two elements, you're gonna have a tough time against this Texas A&M team right now. You know, and a lot of people were like, well, if Alabama can't do this well against Texas A&M, what happens if they play Oregon? And that's two different things because Oregon doesn't have those big, that tall receiver like a Texas A&M did. That's the difference right there. Or an LSU. LSU had tall receivers to take advantage of the short Alabama defensive back, particularly number 10. So when you play Oregon, Oregon doesn't have those tall physical receivers like that. I don't know. Maybe they may have a better shot if they played Oregon instead of Texas A&M. Those are two different elements there. But similar types of offenses in terms of fast pace and whatnot, the difference is those big, tall receivers. Any other comments? Tex, I know you got something to say, man.
No, you were talking earlier about how they made some mistakes. I mean, how can you say that when they sit here and they went neck-to-neck with Florida and LSU and then with Alabama? If anything, man, they missed a couple of passes.
That's what I said. Yeah, because like I said, I thought it could have been a blowout.
He missed about two touchdowns. Well, if he would have just made a better throw, then, I mean, it was a touchdown. It's the Evans, he was beating the Alabama DB off the line. I mean, you could see it.
Exactly, he was. The Evans, that's the guy. That's the thing. He was doing that backside shoulder route to Evans. Every third down, it was like that. Every single third down, it was like that. And the third down, they didn't get it.
I said Evans was getting off the line regardless. He was. It didn't matter who they put over there.
Oh, you don't think if they put Miller on there? Are you kidding? Okay, whatever. Because, no, this is what happened. Remember.
Of course.
No. This is what happened, Tex. I was watching the game, every snap of the game. This is what happened. Milner was on the outside. At the beginning of the game, Menzel was doing inside all during the game, all down, up and down the field. He was throwing in the slot up and down the field. So they moved him inside the slot on one side. So then that's when they started doing the backside shoulder on Evans the whole game. They did it the whole game, okay? That's what happened. They moved Milner into the slot. But then they didn't realize they had that other guy, number 25, his name, Swoop or something.
They wasn't back shoulder fading until they got close to the red zone. That's when you do
that's
it.
Not
you
true.
Do that,
that is not true. That is not true.
You don't
that's
do
not
that
true, Tech. I know that's not true. They were backside shoulder up and down the field.
Nah, they wouldn't.
They were backside shoulder up and down the field, Tex. That's not okay.
They hit that junk every time. When they hit the 30 or the 25, that's when they started. They really started trying it.
The coaching staff did very good in their film study because LSU was doing the exact same thing. LSU was doing that backside shoulder. That's the pin against Alabama right now. Backside shoulder on number 10.
That's for everybody though. That's a staple.
But especially
it don't
Alabama.
It doesn't matter. Man, everybody gets tried like that in the NFL and in college.
Oh, yeah, of course,
it ain't so special that people saving for Bama, man. It's just a back shoulder. Everybody does it. You know who does it? You know who started it? Who really started it? Green Bay. Green Bay Packers specialize in it. And the receiver snapped his head back right before the ball would get there. So it's not something somebody plans for Bama, dude. You know,
I'm not saying they saved it for Bama. I'm just saying they studied what LSU did. LSU was doing the exact same thing. LSU was doing the exact same thing the whole game. So Texas A&M just looked at the film and said, okay, hey, that's a weakness we can exploit. So we're going to do that in this game. And it
worked
for them.
We're saving that. Where the defensive coach is at? He's supposed to be wrong.
He didn't have the personnel to stop that. He didn't have the defensive backs to solve that. He didn't have it. He needs to recruit one.
Alabama doesn't have the defensive backs to stop Texas A&M.
Not the corner. Not enough corners.
He can't cover the whole field.
Come on, man. He's the best defensive back in the country.
They got some good corners now, man. They got some good corners that's in the NFL. That's Alabama. And one of those corners picked off my quarterback, Jay Cutler, this past Sunday night. I guess it
Jackson,
got
right?
Yeah,
Jackson. But I'm just saying, hold on. We got a caller in here, but I don't want to move on here. I don't want to dwell too much into this. We got a lot to talk about here. Let me get this caller in. Our favorite.
He's a moment now, man. There's no.
But end of the day, hold on. Before I get to the caller, before I get to the caller, I will say this: Alabama got played. Much credit to Texas A&M. You know, they got outplayed. I mean, there's no excuse. Alabama got played as an analyst. They got outplayed.
And Sumlin's a heck of a coach, like I said, 2 years.
He's an excellent coach, and I'm happy for him.
They're going to be giving them even more recruits coming to A&M. Trust me, them players that's going to Texas, they're going to kind of shadow coming to A&M even more now with Sumlin and now in the SEC. So Texas got
exactly. And I'm happy for him. I wish him nothing but the best. I'm happy for him. Let me get this caller in, our favorite person here. You know who it is. 813.
All right. Well, you know what? All I want all y'all to do is go back to week one when we started all of this and remember that crazy person that y'all keep saying don't know nothing about what he's talking about said that there would be no undefeated teams in the SEC this year and that the SEC would not be represented in the national championship game. So that Alabama game this week just proved my point.
No, it didn't. Hold on. No, it didn't. You said ain't no national championships.
How many undefeated SEC teams are there in the SEC? How many?
There's none. That
how
part
many?
Is true.
Zero.
Is it,
okay.
Do you know what's an
how
SEC
many
year? Do you know? Listen
SEC.
To me, Tony Wiley.
That big of a guess.
Wiley, is there an SEC? Do you know who's in the national championship game yet?
No, but it's
going
to be an SEC.
So how do you know that?
You have to wait on it.
You didn't prove it then, so there you go.
Tony, you're wrong about USC, though. USC's not going to the national championship.
Oh, yeah, I was completely wrong about USC.
And you're wrong about Oklahoma, too.
Oklahoma let me down.
Hold on, I want to organize the conversation here. I got to put you back on hold here. We're gonna get to the next topic. I'm gonna put you right on here in a second. Hold on. This leads us to the next segment where Tony said before we put him back on. You know, so what does this say for the national championship picture? Who do you see the last two teams standing at the end of the day, based on because the top three teams are Kansas State, Oregon, Notre Dame, then Alabama. Well, then Alabama's number four. So what do you think is going to happen? Do you think a one-loss SEC team could jump one of those three teams? One of them schools would have to lose. USC beats Notre Dame next week. So then Alabama wins their game and they win out. So do you think an Alabama could jump in Oregon? Or Kansas State?
Let's say if Oregon
loses to Stanford this weekend, and then they lose in the Pac-12 championship game against a team, do you see Alabama jumping one of those teams, or Alabama or Georgia jumping one of those teams?
I tell you what. If Bama wins out, if Kansas State. Or Oregon, if they drop a game, Bama will be in. If one of those two drop a game,
Bama will be in the national championship. If Notre Dame wins out, Bama will jump Notre Dame. Promise you that.
Hold on, first of all, you guys, Alabama got to blow USC out.
You got to blow USC out.
No, they don't, man. The BCS is by numbers, man. You got to look at the points. It's not even possible for them to jump any, either one of them schools unless they lose. You got to look at the points. They're behind too many points, man. There's not enough games. It's not mathematically possible. That's what I'm saying. We don't even need to worry about that. Unless one of them schools loses, they're not going, and that should be Alabama, and none of them schools are going. You can look at the points and tell that. It's not mathematically possible.
I don't know.
I agree. I think they jump A-State or Bama.
I can see it happening to Notre Dame, but because Notre Dame ain't playing nobody.
But we can look at the points. Kansas State is .967. Oregon .949. Notre Dame right behind them .939. Alabama is .853. You're not jumping any of those schools unless one of them loses. It's not possible.
So basically, two teams have to lose.
Well, here's the question: Will two out of the three teams lose?
I don't know. I mean, Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame probably could lose to USC.
Or Oregon. Oregon could slip up. This is what it looks like before I get to the call here. It looks like Kansas State, from what I see, is going to win out. I think they're going to win out. Oregon. I can see them losing. They may lose this weekend to Stanford only because Oregon doesn't really have a defense, so I don't think they're really that physical of a team. I thought they had a defense, but they don't have a defense, in my opinion, because they gave up all those yards to USC. And who is the other? Or Notre Dame? Notre Dame may lose to USC, but I think Kansas State's going to go in the national championship game. But I wouldn't be surprised if – I'm not sure yet, but I have a strong feeling that Notre Dame and Oregon may lose the game. I have a strong feeling they'll lose the game.
Like I said, either one of them schools lose. Kansas State still got to play Texas at the end of the year too, so –
But I think they'll beat Texas because it's in Manhattan. The game's in Manhattan, so I think they'll beat Texas. I don't see Texas beating them. I don't think Texas is Texas right now. I mean, I don't see it.
They never are. Yeah.
All right, let me get the call here. But
both of those teams got to take care of business in that conference championship because, say, if Oregon or K-State losing the conference championship, then that go to controversy again, my friend.
K-State doesn't have a conference championship. It's just Oregon that has one. Oregon's the only team that has one.
The Big 12
doesn't have a conference championship. No, there's no Big 12 championship anymore.
Let me get the call here.
Let me get our favorite person here. What's up, Wiley?
Hey, I don't know. I guess I agree with the crew. If they don't lose, Alabama can forget it. I really do think America has got SEC fatigue. They have won or been in the national championship for the last 10 years. They're tired of SEC teams. They've won the last six. People want to see something different. It's starting to get to be an old picture now. So if two teams are undefeated come the end of the season, by however it happens, I'm sure Alabama is going to have a rough time getting in.
And also, America loves Notre Dame.
Yes.
Let me say something about that. First of all, this is about wins and losses. The people aren't deciding anything in this. Like I said, it's math. They lost.
We've seen Boise State be undefeated several years and not make the national championship. It is not math.
The rest of the teams are 10-0. Alabama is 9-1. That's math.
But what I'm saying is, in the past, you have seen undefeated teams not go to the championship when you have a one-loss team.
Not from a major conference,
not
over
not
a one-loss team.
Math.
No, you haven't. Not from a major conference and not over a one-loss team.
It doesn't matter a major conference. You said math. Math doesn't have anything to do with a conference.
All right. So let me just change the route of the discussion here. We want the best two teams. My personal opinion, I want the best two teams in the national championship game right now. Who are the best two teams right now in the country who could play in the national championship game? Let me start
Kansas
with you, Tech.
Kansas State, Oregon.
That's what you say, Watley, right?
Those are the best two teams. They're undefeated.
All right, what you got to say, Callie, man? Who do you think are the best two teams? You think
Kansas
State's better? Kansas, what about you, Tex? What you got to say?
I don't know, man. It's Oregon is one, and the next one, I don't know. It's a toss. me, it's a matchup thing, man. It's a matchup deal. Too bad we don't have a playoff, because Oregon has the best. I mean, they might have the best team, but I look at a squad like you know, somebody like LSU, best pass rush in the nation. You know what I'm saying? Can get after anybody's quarterback. I think LSU could run.
Now, wait a minute.
I told you about having a playoff. I've told you about having a playoff, and you said, oh, the BCS always get it right. But now that the FCC went up there, now we need a playoff all of a sudden, right?
What did I say they always get it right?
You said they always get it right. I can show you on Facebook right now if you want to go to your messages. I think you were even in this conversation last year, weren't you?
The BCS never, ever gets it wrong. Of course they do. But it's not as flawed as the system is.
Why are you preaching playoff now that the SEC team isn't in it?
Do what?
Why are you preaching playoff now that the SEC team isn't in it?
No, I'm not preaching.
Well, because the thing is, Callie Mike. I mean,
I've always wanted to see a playoff.
The thing is, Callie Mike.
I can show you the transcript if you said it.
All right, Callie Mike.
I didn't mind a playoff. Hey, you know why I don't mind a playoff? Because it's going to be the same thing. It's better off for the SEC to have a playoff. That's all I'm gonna say about that. And I'm not a fan of the BCS, but it's not the Antichrist like everybody makes it out to be. You understand what I'm saying?
The thing is, Callie Mike, with the exception of Oregon, when you look at US, when you look at Notre Dame, and you look at Kansas State, you're kind of like. Are they clearly the number one team? I don't know. Just based on the eye test, you don't really see them as a top two team. Based on the eye test, I don't know.
But what does that even matter? Did the eye test tell us that Texas A&M was going with Alabama? So what does that mean?
The Texas A&M had a chance against Alabama. Yes, it did. Yes, it did. The way
they
did.
Okay, here. The eye test showed Texas A&M to beat Alabama, but Kansas State.
Yes. Did you see how they played against Mississippi State the week before? Did you see how they played against LSU?
Kansas State beat Texas A&M the last couple of years in a row. What are you talking about? So the eye test all of a sudden makes Texas A&M better than them?
It's all about
the
math.
Have you been watching
Kansas
State games this year?
Not too many. I ain't gonna lie to you. I watched a few, but when I look at them, I saw them against West Virginia, and I saw them last week against TCU. When I look at them, They have been doing that. It's just been slowly. I don't know, but I mean, when I look at it, they play against TCU and against weak defenses. I'll give you Oklahoma. Oklahoma was a good win. But
it's more about the matchup than anything, fellas. It's not. That's why I had to stop when you asked me who are the top, the best teams. I don't know. This is a year like when Auburn and Oregon played, where you have two teams getting in that ain't usually around a national championship game picture. So it's just a matchup thing. You know,
K-State being up there. You know, we all know that, you know, in the
right.
Start of the season.
Yeah.
If it turns out that Notre Dame gets in, I'm not even watching it. Why? Because Notre Dame does not deserve to be in the national championship game. No ifs, ands, or buts. They are not good enough. I don't care what their record says. They should have lost at least three times.
Just because you decide they're not good enough, that means they can't make it.
Wow.
No, but look at the eye test. Hold on, I'm gonna put you on hold. Hey, Hold on, we gotta change the subject in a second. But look at the eye test, though, Kelly, Mike. I mean, come on. Do you think Notre Dame is
Let me tell you how silly you guys sound. Do you realize that in no other sport does anybody ever say anything about an eye test? Do you realize there's a reason they don't do this in the NFL and in basketball and in Major League Baseball? Oh, hey. The Cowboys, by the eye test, they look like they should be the number one team.
Because
in
every other major league
nobody
sport, you have
that.
A playoff.
Silly,
that's
dude.
Why you don't need an eye test.
All right.
They just now installed a playoff. The SEC is
okay, but
is
the point
is
that's
make,
why you don't need an eye test.
If it was a playoff
because
right now,
every
no
other,
SEC teams would make
in
it in
every
there.
Other sport other than national college football, you have a playoff. So you don't need an eye test. The strong will come out on top.
All right, we got you. We got it. You realize that, right? All right, let me change the subject here. I'm going to have to put you back on hold here, Wadley, because we got a lot to talk about here, especially when we get to pro football. Let me put you on hold here. Who are the top five teams in the country? Could you, like, name them off the top of your head right now, the two you think are your personal top five teams? You want me to start, Tex?
I guess I'll start in. I mean, just in no particular order, I'm going to say Oregon, Kansas State, Bama, Texas A&M, and just the 15, I don't know. Just,
oh,
nah,
you put
just,
Texas A&M over Georgia? You put Texas A&M over Georgia? You jumped Texas A&M over Georgia?
Alabama. They just beat Alabama.
But would you put them as better than Georgia?
I think I'd take A&M in a game against Georgia right now.
Right now on a neutral field. Wow.
Okay.
I kind of would, too. I mean, I heard
Mike go ahead and put LSU in there. That's on him. But I think you just picked
the team. That's because you want to say LSU. Chad, I know you said LSU 5 seconds ago.
I said they match up well with Oregon. I said, come on, man. That's what I said. I said they match up well with Oregon because they have the best pass rush in the country. That's what I said.
I'm so glad the BCS is about to be over and that these schools are actually going to have to play each other instead of this SEC not playing anybody. First of all, let me say this. Texas A&M just beat Alabama, who was the number one team in the country, right?
Yeah.
All year long, they're the new 2001, and they can beat NFL teams.
I don't know about that. See, that ain't
I was wrong. I was
I'm
wrong. I was wrong.
I'm just saying stuff we've heard during the year. SEC is the big, you know, that's the league, this and that. Okay, we all agree. The Texas A&M was never a top Big 12 team, right?
Yeah, they weren't a top Big 12 team.
Always had some talent, though. They do have a new coach.
I had them in the middle. Okay,
they were middle SEC
team. Now, why would a team like that have to come all the way to the SEC if they can beat these schools? If the SEC is the best conference, why are they going out and playing these other schools? Did you ever think about the fact that if Texas A&M would have never switched over to the SEC, we would never be having this conversation right now?
Well, first of all, that ain't even true right there because they play SEC schools. They play Arkansas. What are you talking about? Texas A&M was playing Arkansas. They played Arkansas not too long ago for a home and home. I don't know what you're talking about there.
I'm looking at that.
That's not true. They never played Arkansas on a home and home? Are you kidding me? Texas A&M played Arkansas at home and home?
I'm looking at their schedule right now. But anyway, like I said,
they played in Jerry's World. They played in Jerry's World.
Just listen out to what I'm saying. If Texas A&M would have never switched to SEC, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. Alabama would have went all the way through the only year.
First of all, I had to never
playing anybody else.
Before y'all talk, Texas, I want to say something first because I had a conversation with my good friend with Mike, the host of Cold Hard Truth on Sports about this, because he was saying, like, you know, since Texas A&M beat Alabama, that shows that, you know, the Big 12 is just as good, if not better, than the SEC. The difference between Texas A&M last year and this year is Johnny Manziel. They didn't have Johnny Manziel.
Now,
you think if they had Ryan Tannehill? Hold up. If you think Texas A&M had Ryan Tannehill last year. Yeah, Johnny Manziel, but he wasn't playing for them last year.
You're making excuses.
No, hold on. I got a question for you. Do you think if they had Ryan Tannehill last year and they played Alabama, you think Texas A&M would have won that game?
Yes.
Absolutely. Please. Come on, man. You got to be out of your mind
Ryan,
for saying that, man.
I don't care what draft pick he was. Any Alabama quarterback in the last 50 years, right?
Because he looks the part. Christian Ponder was drafted high. He looks the part. That's why he was drafted high.
Carson Palmer is a good quarterback. He's playing good right now. Ryan Tannehill is balling right now, in case you haven't noticed.
Your boy Reggie Bush is running in the backfield with a defense, right? Come on, man.
Reggie Bush just now got benched. What are you saying? That's what I'm saying. You're just saying random stuff. Come on, man. Like I said, they were good last year. Yes, they could have beat Alabama last year, but we never would have.
No, they wouldn't have beat Alabama. They wouldn't have beat
Alabama
with all those Ryan Tannehill.
They just now beat them.
Whatever. They wouldn't have beat with no Ryan Tannehill. I'll tell you that right now. He was garbage, bro. Whatever.
Ryan Tannehill's a top 10. He's garbage.
I want to move on here.
I'm good. We're fine. Let's move on.
You think Tannehill would have beat Bama on LSU last year?
Who?
Oh, Tannehill. You think Tannehill would have beat Alabama or LSU last year?
Yes, we'll never know because those schools don't play nobody, so we'll never know that. But yeah,
let me get to the call here.
I'm crazy, but they just lost. But I'm crazy. Okay.
Well, let me get to the call here. 813-409.
Oh boy, this ought to be interesting. So y'all want to make me out to be the one that's crazy? If Texas A&M was so good to beat Alabama last year, why weren't they in the national championship? They didn't even play
Alabama last year. They lost to Florida and LSU.
If they went undefeated and went to the national championship, then they could have played Alabama. But they didn't do that. So obviously they weren't good enough.
They just now beat Alabama this year, so they're good enough to go to national championship this year.
But they lost to Florida and they lost to LSU, right? Who Alabama beat, right?
Florida can beat Texas A&M. Florida can beat Alabama.
Oh please, let's just.
If Alabama plays Florida right now, Alabama most likely beat him because the Driscoll guy, he's going to be out for the next couple of games. I heard because of his ankle.
Oh, I agree with that. But what I'm saying is the comparison y'all making can be the same comparison I made. Texas A&M got beat by Florida this year. So since Alabama don't play Florida, then I can say Florida would beat Alabama this year. That's what y'all trying to say about Texas A&M last year.
Beat Alabama.
But they lost to LSU. Texas A&M lost to LSU, who lost to Alabama.
Why
are we even talking about that when Texas A&M just Alabama? You guys are trying to make a relative statement where there doesn't need to be any other relation besides that Alabama just lost.
Whatever, you're trying to make the relative statement by saying that, you know, this comes Texas A&M.
Florida, LSU, Texas A&M, because Texas A&M lost to LSU and Florida, but Alabama beat LSU. So who's the better team?
I want to redirect the conversation here. I'm going to have to because we still got a lot of stuff to talk about here. I'm going to put you on hold here, Watley, real quick.
All right.
And it looks like he mentioned about Florida. Does it seem like it may be – why do I feel like there may be a small quarterback controversy here with the Florida Gators? I want to talk about this for like 2 minutes because, as we know, they didn't play that well against the Raging Cajuns. I don't even know the name of the school. Louisiana Lafayette, I think that's what they call it. And then the other quarterback –
They almost lost to Louisiana Lafayette.
But what happened was the other quarterback, I forgot his name, he took him back into the game after Driscoll got hurt. And he's going to be starting this game I guess, their homecoming game, and then he's likely to start against LSU. He seems like he's a pretty good player. Do you all think that maybe there's a quarterback controversy drumming up around here for the Florida Gators?
Not really. I mean, they got the end of the season anyway, but, I mean, right now it looks like Driscoll's not going to be at the game for Florida State because they say he's going to be out for the next couple of games. So at this point, it's really no big thing. The season's pretty much over. That's going to be a battle with always between Florida and Florida State. And they're going to be at Tallahassee, so it's not going to be looking too good at that game. But the Jacksonville State game, Florida should take care of business in that one.
All right. Well, let me see what Wiley has to say about this. Let me put it in here. Wiley.
I think that the controversy will be over because we've only got a couple of more games this year, and Driscoll is a better fundamental quarterback. The thing that I have noticed, and this is my own opinion, black quarterbacks want to do all the scrambling and wildcat running and all of that kind of stuff, and fundamental standing in that pocket and finding that receiver and throwing that ball is lost on all of that. And that's why a lot of times when you see the white and the black quarterbacks competing, the white guy usually gets it because they are looking for the fundamentals. The purpose of a quarterback is to throw the ball. You have a running back to run the ball. And that is the bottom line. And that's why the black guy at Florida won't be the starter come next year.
Well, he's not a running quarterback. Well, first of all, the running quarterback is Driscoll. Driscoll's the running quarterback.
Thank you.
No.
And then the black quarterback's a pocket passer. What are you talking about?
In that game with Louisiana Lafayette, the black quarterback, every time it started getting a little tight, he took off. Every time.
I don't know. I thought he was very good in the last moment. He was throwing the ball in the pocket pretty well, I thought. I mean, I don't know. He seemed like he was a pretty good player to me. I don't know.
The offense didn't win that game. Special teams won that game.
At the last play, but he brought him back in the game for them to be for that play to happen. He tied the game
last touchdown, and then the defense came back and got a block punt return.
Yeah,
so that was,
I mean, it just showed. I don't know.
Went out at the end of the second half.
My thing is, it just seemed like the brother could play. Basically, it looked like to me the brother is a better thrower of the football than Driscoll. That's just what I saw. All right,
I don't know. Didn't see that.
And in the next week, he's going to be starting the game, so I'm pretty sure he's going to have a pretty good game. And if he beats Florida State in Tallahassee, which I don't think it will happen, but if that ever happens, that's going to be a quarterback controversy, in my personal
opinion. I don't agree. I think he's a better athlete, but I don't think he's a better fundamental quarterback than Driscoll.
So that's the difference right there. I think Driscoll's a better athlete, and I think he may be a better fundamental quarterback or whatever. All right, but anyway.
But who year is that quarterback you're talking about? Brissett?
They're both sophomores.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, it might push each other in going, you know, training camp or something like that, though. I don't know.
No.
I mean, he come out and play out of his mind against Florida State, and they say, and he's either starting to they make it to a bowl game and play well. But yeah, it could be a quarterback controversy.
Well, wasn't Brissett actually the starter at the beginning of the year?
No, they played them both in the first game.
Yeah, they played them both in the first game, and then Driscoll did pretty well against Texas A&M, and then they put Driscoll as a starter. But it just seems to me like the brother's pretty good. So I mean, I something tells me I put him in there. That's just my gut feeling right now. I put him in there if they want to win some games for next year. But hey, we'll see what happens. Let me put you on hold here real quick, and we're gonna talk about one more thing before we get to the pro football discussion. Let's talk about Georgia and Alabama. It seems like those two are gonna meet up in the SEC championship game. Who do you think is gonna win that game?
Well. Okay.
Oh, you can go, Cali, Mike. I mean, Shoutout, you can go first.
Well, Georgia, I mean, they're getting it going, but you still just don't know what Georgia team is going to show up, what Georgia team is going to play. And they've been having some kind of iffy games this past year. You know, we was talking earlier, you know, Rick was feeling heat. He could have been out. I was saying that, you know, if he didn't beat Florida, then, yeah, he definitely was going to be out. And, you know, he beat Florida. So I don't know, you know. It's a good question. Right now, I can't call it on how Georgia will play, I think if you had to, if they were to play tomorrow, I mean, I'd say on Saturday, probably definitely big for Alabama. But right now, I'm going to wait and see on that. But if I was picking that for going in, I probably would say Alabama.
All right, what you got to say? Tex, what you have to say?
I think Bama would beat Georgia.
What about you, Kelly, Mike? What you have to say?
Man, it's just amazing. It was just amazing Georgia even ranked this high, man. I mean, like I say, it's more – I already did argue it to the point where I can't even argue it no more. It's more SEC bias, man. How are they even ranked that high? Chance Georgia is going to go to the national championship where Mark Richt was about to be fired a couple of days ago. I mean,
who do you think should be in there instead of Georgia? I mean, what team do you think should be in there in place of Georgia?
Let me ask you a question. Where is Florida State? What happened to them?
Because they haven't played anybody except for Clemson.
There's a lot of that going on around here.
Well, I mean, Georgia played more ranked teams than Florida State. Alabama played more ranked teams than
Florida State. Georgia has played South Carolina and Florida, and they lost to South Carolina.
Alabama played Michigan when they were ranked number 8.
Why are you bringing up Alabama? We're talking about Georgia. Come on now.
Oh, I thought you wanted to compare who played who. That's what I thought you said.
Yeah, I said Florida State over Georgia. Why is Florida State underneath South Carolina, who'd have lost 2 games, underneath Texas A&M, who'd lost 2 games, and underneath LSU, who'd lost 2 games?
Because they haven't played anybody except for Clemson. That's the only team they played.
Once again,
who
have those schools played?
Who has those schools, like those like Georgia or Florida? Who's those schools?
Who is Georgia played? Who's Georgia played?
I see Georgia's schedule. They really
Georgia played South
lost.
Carolina. Georgia played Florida.
They lost that game. They got blown out that game. Next.
Yeah, but they beat Florida. They beat Florida when Florida was the number
okay,
two
they
team
beat
in the
Florida.
Country.
Okay.
Florida got screwed when they lost to – they were screwed when they lost to NC State.
They kind of dropped it right there. Georgia lost to NC State, but they only lost by one point, though. That's the only loss they got. But they still lost. But that's the one game we hear about competitive conferences and big boy football and all sorts of other cliches. But they lost. You asking why are we not talking about Florida State?
Because you lose to NC State. You lose to an unranked team as to where you're Georgia.
Okay,
you lose
Look who Georgia has played. Buffalo. Florida Atlantic. They got a game coming up against another
look
power
who they beat.
Georgia
look who they beat. They beat Florida when they were number 2 in the nation.
And they played
That's why they're around.
Yeah, they beat them. I mean, I see
what they because they get beat by a team that's probably I think top 5 at the time. They get beat by them, and then
they
beat
Tennessee when Tennessee was ranked. What was Tennessee ranked when they played? What was Tennessee
ranked? They were in the twenties.
No, they weren't.
Yeah, but
who
they
were? South Carolina is 6 right now.
Who you said Tennessee?
Yes.
No, when they played Georgia, they were ranked.
No, they weren't.
Yes, they were.
Who are we talking about?
They were. You talking about Tennessee. I think Tennessee were ranked because, I mean, up there, they
Tennessee
was still
three
winning. I'm looking at it right here. We all
got the story that everybody can't look it up.
Georgia game, they only had one loss, though.
Tennessee is 4-6 right now.
I'm talking about South Carolina, though.
No,
I'm
right
talking
now
about
they're not ranked. I'm talking about when they played them.
I'm talking about Tennessee is 4-6. So if they were ranked, they never should have been ranked. They were overrated anyway.
Well, I mean, yeah, but, you know, at the time, nobody thought they were.
Because it's an SEC school, so, yeah, nobody thought they could lose. But, okay.
But I got to give what Mike is saying with Georgia. I mean, they schedule. But I mean, only like Tex was saying, when they beat Florida, that's what pretty much I resurrect the Bulldog on up.
And I'm looking at it right here. They weren't ranked. I'm looking at it right here, too. They weren't ranked either, but okay, let's keep going.
I was wrong. They weren't ranked. I thought they were ranked. They weren't ranked. But let me get with the caller. Let me see what the caller has to say. 813, our favorite person.
All right. Come on. Common sense should tell you why Florida State's loss was worse. They played an in-conference, in-division team that has four losses. They were ranked in the top five, and they got beat. That says it all. You don't even have to get into Georgia. They couldn't beat a team that's in their conference, in their division, with four losses. That is why they are not talked about in the national championship. If you can't beat a team in your division, in your conference, that has four losses, you don't deserve to play in the national championship.
North Carolina, they have four losses when they play Florida State.
No, they have four losses now, which shows they suck.
Tennessee, we just proved Tennessee got six losses.
Okay, but
what does that mean?
That means that Florida State is not a top-tier team if they can't even beat one of the worst teams in their own division.
They're 6-4, man. They're not a whole tier. I mean,
6-4 in today's NCAA football is horrible. You can only go to the national championship with one loss. If you got four losses, people don't even know who you are.
True. That's true.
Right on that. Has two losses, right? And they can beat Alabama. And Alabama can only go down three spots. But at the same time, when North Carolina plays Florida State, they only have one loss, and Florida State completely falls out the rankings?
No.
And
they just completely fall out of the rankings because after North Carolina State beat them, North Carolina State continued to lose. So if you lose to a team that continues to lose, then you're not a national championship perspective.
You're not listening. This didn't happen on Florida. This just didn't happen. This happened as soon as they lost. They immediately dropped.
Of course. You're always going to immediately drop when you lose.
They lost to an unranked team.
No, but I mean, they immediately dropped completely where they weren't even anywhere. They completely dropped out of the top 10 when they lost.
But you lost to an unranked team.
It was a bad loss. It was a very bad loss.
If Oregon were to go Sunday, Saturday and lose to Washington, do you think they'd stay in the top five?
That was a one-point loss.
I said if Oregon were to go to Saturday and lose to Washington, do you think they would stay in the top five?
All right.
Let me direct. It's a good point, Kelly Mike. I mean, they lost to a bad team, and they couldn't beat any good teams to put them back in the national championship picture. That's why they're not. I mean, are they a top 10 team? Is Florida State a top 10 team, in my opinion? Yes, they are. All right. But, you know, basically.
Let's call it finish. But what?
They lost to a bad team. When the computers come to play, they lost to a bad team. And they didn't beat any good teams to put them back in the national championship fold.
It's as simple as that. Who did Florida beat?
Georgia lost to South Carolina, and then they beat Florida in the cocktail party. That's why they propelled themselves back up. At the time, Florida Gators were number two in the nation.
And Florida beat LSU, Tennessee, and South Carolina.
Tennessee is 4-6.
So that's why they are ranked how they're ranked.
And Texas A&M.
And Texas A&M.
All right, let me put you on hold here real quick. Let me put you on hold here, Wiley. We got a caller here right here. 850.
Yes, sir. Mr. Call, buddy.
How's it going?
Pretty good, sir. Yeah, continuing in the same discussion here, I was just going to add that what about Clemson? They're number 11, and their only loss is to Florida State. So why aren't they
I don't know. It depends who they play. I'm looking up their schedule now. Who is this? Kevin?
Daniel.
Oh, Daniel. Oh, what's up, man? I'm sorry, man. What about Clemson?
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. I'm looking at their schedule.
State, Yeah, I mean, Florida State, the only reason they dropped so far supposedly is because they lost to NC State. Well, Clemson plays the same conference, and their only loss is to Florida State.
You can't think I know answer for that.
Who else are they playing?
Yeah, they ain't playing nobody else.
Who else
it's the same board. It's the same situation as Florida State. They haven't played anybody ranked. When they played them, they weren't ranked except with the exception of Florida State, who was the number four team in the nation. So
right.
They haven't played anybody.
People are saying the only reason Florida State dropped down is because they lost to NC State. They're not saying that they shouldn't have been up there at all. Whereas Clemson, they played the same, basically the same schedule. You know, it's not as strong.
Or maybe these teams, it may have a lot to do with these teams. Like, these teams may be very, very bottom feeders in the NCAA polls. They may be close to ranked 100. I mean, you got Wake Forest, Duke. Well, I don't know. Duke, I think, has a pretty good season this year. But Ball State, Furman, teams like that.
Also, though, Clemson lost to Florida State, so they played the only ranked team they lost to at the time. Florida State was ranked number four.
I mean, if they beat South Carolina, they'll jump up maybe to number seven or number six maybe if they beat Clemson.
A lot's going to be known whenever Florida State plays Florida in the same week Clemson plays South Carolina. That's going to make a lot of difference.
Agree.
Yeah. Yeah, agree.
I personally
agree.
Think the ACC teams are going to beat the dog snot out of them, but that's, we'll see.
The dog snot, they're going to beat the dog snot out of who? Excuse me?
I think Clemson and Florida State will both win pretty big in those games.
And which games again?
Rivalry week. Florida against
Florida
State.
Oh, you're talking about against South Carolina? Well, I mean, come on, you got to think. Okay, I can see Florida State beating Florida. I mean, yeah, I think Florida State may be better than Florida, I think. I mean, only because the defense. I think Florida State's defense is going to shut down whoever Florida has at quarterback. And plus, you got to play the game in Tallahassee, too. Now, with Clemson, you don't. I mean, South Carolina didn't have Marcus Lattimore, but they do have their defense. So it's not going to. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk for Clemson. I just think that, it'll be a close game, but I think Clemson may have the edge because they have a lot of dynamic weapons on the offensive side of the ball. So,
and also they're at home too. The last two games are at home, sweet old home Clemson. So it goes in their favor at home.
That's true. I'd be pretty afraid of Clemson. I mean, they don't play a very hard schedule, but they've won by two touchdowns against everybody except Auburn, which was their first game. They only won by a touchdown, and then they lost to Florida State by a couple touchdowns. But that was without Sammy Watkins too. Both of those games.
Oh, I thought they had Sammy Watkins against Florida State. The first two games, Clemson didn't have Sammy Watkins because he was suspended. But when they played Florida State, they had Sammy Watkins though. But that's
that
when EJ Manuel. Yeah, that's when EJ Manuel played pretty well. I think Clemson's a top 10 team too. You know, I mean, I think they could beat maybe a Notre Dame. You know, they probably could beat them. But
well,
I mean,
I just think Notre Dame. Yeah, Notre Dame's better than everybody says they are, man. I mean, they were on the verge of doing something that Alabama did last year. I mean, that didn't work out, but they didn't give up a rushing touchdown until that Pitt game. And then they haven't given up an offensive touchdown in five of their games. So.
I mean, even when they play these military academies and Pitt, I'll give them the credit. I mean, I think they deserve to be in the top 10. I think so, and they deserve to be in the top six. But do I see them as a top three team? I don't know. Time will tell. I want to see what happens if they go on the road to USC and if they beat them. So we'll see.
Yeah. All right. Another question.
Okay.
Just a quick question for you guys. What do you think about all these SEC teams playing nobodies this week? Every single one.
Everybody plays a nobody
at some point, man.
This late in the season, this is crunch time. This is the time you should be proving yourself. You're not trying to play a
no, because you got to rest up. You got to rest up for your big games. What are you talking about? You got to rest up. What are you talking about, man?
So, why do you always come up with all these excuses when it comes to SEC,
no, ain't no
man.
Excuse. Whatever, man. Oh, so USC played Hawaii? Are you kidding me? Come on, man.
I never came up with any excuses for SEC this year, but every time we say something about the SEC, it's always an excuse.
every time.
Nah, I mean, you got to rest up, man. Hold on, when you're playing back to – when you're getting your head ding-donged all the time with these hard teams, you got to play a cupcake once in a while.
What hard?
Yeah, I mean, come on.
But like I said, how do you know these teams are hard if they don't ever play nobody else? Let me just give you an
example. What are you talking about? They don't play nobody else. I don't know
hold
what you
on,
keep
on,
saying
on,
that
on,
for.
On,
all right.
Let me just give you a real quick example of what I'm talking about. I'm looking at future schedules. Go to footballschedules.com. I'm looking at the future offseason non-conference schedules of University of Florida. Next year they have Idaho, Eastern Michigan, and Eastern Kentucky.
The Florida Gators, I'll give you that. They don't go across the country and play nobody. I'll give you that.
Okay, who does?
And I know Wiley's going to come in here and say something. I know he's listening to me. Florida Gators, I'll give you that. What'd you say?
Who does out of the SEC? Who does?
Alabama does. Alabama does. Tennessee does. Georgia does. LSU does.
Let me look at Alabama right now.
Look up Alabama's future schedule.
Alabama next year, they play Georgia State, Chattanooga, and Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech is not going all across the country up north. That's not it. To Virginia Tech going to Blacksburg.
The whole hour flight to Virginia. Wow. Okay.
Oh, they're playing Blacksburg? Are you kidding me? They're playing Blacksburg Stadium?
Oh, man. Boston,
are you kidding me? They just almost beat
me. The game is in Atlanta, Clarville. The game is in Atlanta.
Neutral field, same thing.
I mean, come on. You know, Bytec, traditionally, they're pretty tough. But, I mean, they're having a down year this year. But, you know, Bytec is a solid opponent most Saturdays, most years.
And they almost beat Florida State this past weekend. So I'm just saying. So
let me,
you know, I mean,
let me go to Ohio State. This is who they playing in non-conference in the coming up years. They got Cal coming up next year, which of course they got Pam. You all know why they playing.
Program Cal.
Okay.
Declining program.
The future year, this is who they're gonna be playing. They got Texas. They got Texas. They got Oregon. They got Boston College. They got TCU, North Carolina, Oklahoma, and Virginia Tech, all scheduled up coming within the next looks like 10 years.
You playing in the Big Ten, you better be playing somebody.
Okie doke. But let's see who Georgia has. Southern, University of Louisiana Monroe, South Alabama, Charleston Southern, who I didn't even know was a school, Georgia Southern, North Texas, Appalachian State, and Clemson. That's the only team that I think they play Clemson every year or something like that.
I need to change it up here because we kind of going past the hour here. You got a final comment, Daniel, before I put you on hold? I got to put you on hold here.
Yeah, I'll let you start making one more comment and then hang up and listen to you guys. But
I can put you on hold here because we've got to get into the NFL discussion too. What do you guys think?
I can hear better on the computer. I'm outside right
all
now.
Right.
But
okay.
Yeah. Florida against Louisiana Lafayette last week. They won by the skin of their teeth, and they don't drop at all. And then this week they got Jacksonville State, so I wish them the best of luck. Sorry to go after your boys there in Alabama too, but they got a 1-9 West Carolina team they're playing. That's a little bit below a scrub there.
Homecoming. Oh, really? Savannah State for FSU, Daniel?
Well, it's a special case because West Virginia was supposed to be our game there.
Well, who was the team y'all played before that? Who was the team y'all played before that? Murray State or something like that, right?
Yeah, Murray State. Yep. That was our scrub, but it was the first game of the year. So, I mean, then West Virginia backed out. That made us – we called 70 schools before we finally settled on Savannah State. So, I mean, you got to give us some credit for trying there. But last comment, though, at least we're not scared to play Miami like Florida, and I'll let that be my last word. You guys, God bless you. Good show.
And I want to say something. Hold on. Before you hang up, Dan, Dan may have a show on the Mathis and Raymond Network coming out. We're kind of working out the negotiations for that. You know, he's bringing the conservative point from our political from my political point of view. I just want to put that out there. All right, man. All right, talk to you soon, Dan. All right.
All right, you guys be good. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
You too, Dan.
All right, let me put Wiley on hold, and then we're going to change the subject here to the NFL discussion. 813, Wiley.
You know what? All of these SEC haters, y'all want to talk about the two or three or four cupcakes that each one of our monster teams play? Every other conference, y'all are all cupcakes, plain cupcakes, and you're just the bigger cupcake.
Congratulations, Tony. You did it. You proved us wrong. Thank you. Let's move on.
I don't have to prove you wrong. Six national championships proves you wrong.
Congratulations.
In a row, baby. In a row.
No, listen. You can't. I mean, that sticks right there. That statement right there does stick, Cali Mike. I mean, I understand you're saying during the season.
Like I said, the statement that Tim Tebow played one of the greatest seasons a quarterback has ever played and had one of the greatest careers a quarterback has ever played in the SEC sticks too. So what
I
know really
Cam Newton is the greatest quarterback out of the SEC I've ever seen, so I don't know what you're talking about. And bottom line, you can call whatever you want from it, any conference you want. I'm going to stick with my six rings in a row. You can stick
right.
with your cupcakes
rings?
All you want. I'm going to stick with my six rings in a row. I don't care what team from the SEC won. All right,
I want to direct the conversation now. We're going to change the subject here now. We're going to the NFL. Let me put you on hold here, Wiley. Let's all calm down here. Let's all calm down.
Like you said, you can't argue about the rings, baby.
Right.
Well, you always hear SEC. You never hear nobody else claim the whole conference. You never hear nobody go, oh, in the AFC West, we do this. Only SEC.
Oh, please, they don't do that
in
California in the Pac-10.
We play football.
Oh, they don't do that in the Pac-10? But anyway, all right, let me shut up
we
here.
We claim schools, bro. We claim schools out here. Not you don't.
But anyway, this is another conference.
You never hear a Lakers fan go, the Western Conference, we're going to take it all.
I do hear USC people saying the Pac-10. But anyway, that's another conversation.
USC fans hate every other team in the Pac-10. So where are you at,
all right. Let's go to the NFL here. Michael Vick, concussion. Okay. Most likely, the reports say he's probably going to be out for the rest of the season. Eagles haven't played that good. Should the Eagles part ways with Michael Vick after the end of the season? Tex, what you have to say about that?
What was the question now again?
Should the Eagles part ways with Michael Vick after the end of the season?
It'll be less expensive if they do. I don't see him in an Eagle jersey next year. Maybe they cut him and then bring him back. I mean, they can be off the hook for all money. I think it's 3 days after the Super Bowl they have to cut him, and then they can just totally be off the hook for money. So he might have played. He could have played his last game as an Eagle this past Sunday, or this past week, they'll cut him and then they'll bring him back cheaper. And he'll just be a bargain for them, but it's up in the air with them right now. And it's up in the air with Vic. I mean, next year he plays next year, it'll be, what, his 13th season? He's a small quarterback. He's getting a lot of injuries. Getting nicked up, huh?
That sounds like something Skip Bayless told me. But anyway, he won't.
What are you talking about, Skip Bayless? You saying I don't know what I'm talking about?
No, I'm not saying you know exactly what you're talking about. I didn't mean to say that, Tex. You know what you're talking about with the Eagles, trust me.
No, I'm not saying that, Tex. But the thing is, I mean, I think it's safe to say that you're not, if you're the Eagles, you're not bringing him back at that price tag that he's at. I mean, you have to pay him a lot of money if you bring him back. You can cut him, and you can bring him back for a cheaper salary. But, I mean, like I said, this is a young man's league. The Eagles, I mean, they might just go a totally different direction next year anyway. So, you know, it's a lot of stuff, a lot of factors there that'll decide what happens to Vic. But, you know, he's getting older, and he's getting banged up. He's kind of damaged goods a little bit, so. It's hard to forecast right now, hard to tell about these things because, you know, things turn over in the league.
All right. Cali Mike, what you have to say?
I agree. I mean, I don't think you can bring him back. I don't even think you can bring him back, and you can't bring the coach back either. You know, it's like I think at this point you got to start looking about salvaging your franchise. You know, you got a ferocious fan base who can be loyal, but like I said, they're ferocious up there in Philly too. They're not going to take too much more of this. You know, I mean, this is a team. Like I said, this is a team that should be winning by all intents and purposes. You know, this is a team people had as favorites to come out of the NFC, you know. So, I mean, for them to be doing this is like, wow, you know. And I don't think Nick Foles is the answer either. I mean, I know you can't bring Vic back. I know that not at this price tag. You just can't do it. It's not a smart business move. You know, like Tech said, they release him. You know, they can be off the hook for the rest of his money. Let bygones be bygones and let him go on about his way. He was able to rejuvenate himself a little bit, get his money back, pay off his debts, and now it's time to move on, you know.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, too. I think this might be his last year. I kind of feel bad. I really want him to do well, but it just doesn't look like this is going to be it. I think they made a mistake by getting rid of Donovan McNabb. What you have to say about that, Shatown? What you have to say about that?
I agree to an extent too. I mean, I want to add to part two. They always can restructure his contract, Michael Vick. You know, he's good. He got the money, but again, he might only want to come back to Philly, being a quarterback and that ferocious offensive line. Everybody want to say Vick. That offensive line is terrible. You know, getting hit. You know, I agree. You know those hits and nicks. You know, Vic is a small quarterback, you know, 6 feet. And, you know, we already know Andy Reid is not going to be back next year, so there's going to be a new coach there. So we already know when a new coach in, and there's always been, you know, questions and controversy already with the quarterback, you know, with the play and stuff. So a new coach probably want to have his own quarterback. So the franchise itself probably will go in a whole different direction, and it might not be just Vic. They might – you know, we need some more players, especially on that defense, and then just start all over again, you know. I agree with Calvin Mike. I had the Eagles winning that division and definitely being a Super Bowl contending team, but it's just a huge disappointment.
All right, so the thing you have to understand is that you're not restructuring the contract of a guy that's been in the league for 12, 13 years that has been okay to good and great for a couple of years. You're not restructuring his contract. You're getting rid of him altogether, and you're taking his money off the books. And then if you want, you're bringing him back after at a discount. That's business. I mean, that's NFL business. You know what I'm saying? That's what that is. That's what you're doing. You're not restructuring deals unless – I mean, you're not doing it. If it's Drew Brees, okay, you do it. No injury history, really, you know. But I mean, you're not doing it for Michael Vick. You're just not.
Yeah, and plus, you know, people got to realize restructure. It doesn't mean he's going to be taking a new contract and getting less money. It just means he's going to be getting the same money at different times in order to maybe try to sign another player, bring in some, you know, free up more salary cap. So they're not gonna ever pay Vic the rest of that money. It's not gonna It's not gonna happen.
All right, let's see what a caller here has to say. The number one person in the world. What's going on, Whiteley?
I'm gonna have to tell you like this. It is time for Michael Vick to retire. I agree with everybody when they say they're not re-signing Michael Vick. And you got to understand, just like Peyton Manning is the most revered quarterback in the NFL, Michael Vick is the most hated quarterback in the NFL. And because people hate him, when Philly cuts him, nobody's going to pick him up. And because nobody's going to pick him up, he's either going to have to sign for nothing to be a backup at Philly, or he's going to have to retire. Michael Vick is damaged goods. America hates Michael Vick. You can sit and you talk about how good he is. You can say whatever you want. But in the eyes of America, he is a black dog killer, and they hate him. And that is the bottom line. And I'm
telling
you.
I mean, you don't think. I mean, you don't think he
really – from they're done with
Black Dog Killer.
Well, hold on, hold on. You don't think – I mean, I think he kind of rehabilitated his image a little bit. You don't think he did? I mean, hold on. Riley. There's going to be always an element that's not going to like you. There's nothing you can do about it. But I think his image is a little bit better than it was pre-dog fight.
Okay,
I really do.
You know, when you're winning, everybody's on your side. But the second you start losing, they don't didn't like you to begin with. It's like Tiger Woods. Hated Tiger Woods when he went out and did something personal in his life. But all of a sudden, when he started winning again, everybody was back on his bandwagon.
Like, Michael Vick may not be playing good quarterback, but in terms of his perception, I don't think he's hated that much like he used to be.
Yes,
I think
he was
hated.
One thing you can't do in America is kill dogs. Everybody loves dogs.
Think Michael Vick's image?
They get on the couch. They get their butts in the bed.
I understand what you're saying.
He has not rehabilitated his image. He may have rehabilitated his image in the NFL, but in America, he is a dog killer.
I guess, man. I think there would be another team that would pick Michael Vick up. Not necessarily to be a starter, but to compete for the starting position, I think another team would pick Michael Vick up to compete for the start.
Because any city he goes to, the people are going to protest him. They're going to be standing outside saying, we don't want him here. Ain't that what they
did? Yeah, he did in the Philly, but whatever. What do y'all have to say about that? Y'all have any opinions on that, Cali Mike or Shoutown?
I was gonna say a wait see approach. I get what Tony is saying on that. Yeah, I mean, I kind of see what you're saying too. But still, you know, he's in Philly, but that we just gotta see how it goes somewhere else. It still will always be that, but that's kind of a wait and see thing. But you know, it could be a possibility if the Eagles go ahead and release him, that he might have seen his last time in the NFL, possibly. It depends if that team can take it. If he do go to another team, that team might have a strong fan base. You know, like, you know, the Chicago Bears, Dallas Cowboys, Pittsburgh Steelers type of team. If a team is not a strong fan base, team, then he's not playing for that team. Because of all that stuff, like Jacksonville, he ain't going to play for the Jaguars.
He ain't going to play for no Southern team. You can forget that.
Well, I mean, and also you got to look at what do we mean? Go to another team? Go to another team and start? Be a backer? I mean, what can he bring to another team right now? What does that mean?
I mean, he's still relatively.
I don't see him going to another team and being anything on that team but a backup.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to go to
no Southern team. You can forget that.
Yeah, who would need him?
All right, well, hold
up.
Let me change the direction here. I'm gonna put you back on hold here, Wiley. We're gonna have to change the subject here.
I just thought about this. The team might end up. He might be a Raider. Nah, I don't know. It's just the Raiders.
Backup quarterbacks. Or backup quarterbacks are usually quarterbacks that are able to go into any kind of system and help out if the starter gets hurt. Vic already has to have a specialized system where he is, so he's not gonna, you know. A backup quarterback can be a guy like a Matt Hasselbeck or somebody like that can be a backup quarterback for years because they can go in anywhere and fit in different kinds of systems and make throws when they need to and then go extra down for, you know, whenever the starter gets back healthy. But Vic, you know, that's like Vince Young trying to be a backup and Philly and it didn't work, you know. If you got to specialize in a playbook for a quarterback, he can't go nowhere else and be a backup.
All right.
That's true.
Let's talk about something that happened earlier this week. They were talking about this on First Take with our favorite person, Skip Bayless. Brian Urlacher in the game against the Houston Texans. The Houston Texans intercepted a pass. And, you know, Brian Urlacher was running on the field. It was like a former player for the Bears. So this was in the game. This was in the middle of the game. And, you know, it was like Brian Urlacher was congratulating him for getting the interception on the field, shaking his hand, giving him a hug, saying, you know, congratulating him on the interception. Do you have a problem with Urlacher doing that in the middle of the game? you know, maybe you do that at the end of the game, but do you have a problem with them doing that in the middle of the game? Let me go to Callie Mike.
To me,
it's a non factor, man. I mean, what, you know, that's something that, you know, everybody, you know, they just blow up just for the fact of blowing it up. You know, Urlacher, he's a veteran, you know, he's somebody who paid his dues in the league. He knows how to, you know what I mean? It's not, you know, it ain't, like I said, ain't nothing that's going to affect either team or something. You know, it's to me, like I said, it's a non factor. Okay, you know, it's one of the things that don't matter.
I mean, but you don't think, to the Bears, you don't think it sends, like, they lost the game. You don't think a Chicago Bears fan such as Mike, Chi-Town, I mean, he may not care, but I'm just saying, another Chicago Bears fan may be like, what are you doing? You know, why are you doing that in the middle of the game?
I mean, you don't think that sends a bad message
to the Bears fans?
What message? What does it mean? He wants to go play for the Texans, or... He's not trying to win the game. He's not taking the game serious.
You know, he's not taking the game serious or something like that. I mean,
from what we know of Brian Urlacher, is that his character? I mean, you know, we gotta. Sometimes you gotta take stuff for what it is. Hey, nice play, keep it moving. Nice to see, you know, we were teammates. Nice play, keep it moving. Sometimes you gotta take stuff for just what it is, and can't, you know, when you're trying to put tens and twenties on it, it's, you know. That's when it starts getting kind of crazy.
You got an opinion on that, Chi-Town?
Man, they're just making it blowing up. I was listening to Urlacher the other day on Tuesday. I mean, hey, he don't care what people say and this and that, fans, whatever. I mean, he's just there. I mean, he's cool with Daniel Manning. The Gator Man play, good play. You know, I seen the play. I saw when he did that. I didn't think none of it. Okay, I was mad at Cutler due to the dang interception, but... You know, hey, it is what it is. It's one of those things. I mean, hey, if I was
during
that time, you know, hey, I do it. Like Mike said, has he been always a professional player out there and did what he had to do? So, making a big deal out of nothing.
Tex, you got any opinion on that?
It's not a big deal. That's his boy, you know? I mean, it's like Urlacher said, when the play is over, the play is over. And Bears fans, just chill out. You lost, and that's what you mad at. You mad because Urlacher dapped his best friend up for making a great play, by the way. I mean, really, who cares, man? I mean, what was he supposed to do?
Spit in his face and punch him in the stomach or kick him down? I mean,
I don't even want to change sports here. Like, did you have a problem with what KG did when Ray Allen, you know, said what's up to him? I mean, do you think KG acted inappropriately, or did Ray Allen act inappropriately? Just a similar situation.
He was ignoring him.
Yeah, he was ignoring him.
He's a girl that was, you know, that didn't get to go out with the prom king or whatever. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Let me say this,
Claudel. Even though this is a football show, Kevin Garnett gets away with a lot of stuff because of his talent. His attitude is far off as I've seen anybody have an attitude. And for cats not to be jumping on him because he's a talented guy, this, you know, like I say, he's, you know, every, you know, like I say, I from what I from that's from what I've seen him and the stuff I've seen him do, like, you know, like this here, this isn't two rookies. These cats are 15-year veterans now, and you can't even talk to this man and say what's up to him. It's like, come on, what does that mean? And that, you know, like I say, that also lets me know that maybe when they were in Minnesota, there was something else going on besides, you know, everybody trying to put everything on Stephon Marbury too. But like I said, that's getting a little bit off subject. But, you know, like I said, he does a lot more than what people. You know, I've been noticing his attitude and his actions over the years, and he gets with a lot of crap.
But I say this though, he really wanted, you know, Ray Allen, you know, of course, to resign, you know, call him doing that time and coming back, and then I guess he just, you know, he went to the enemy, the Miami, because, you know, the Celtics and Heat can't stand each other. I mean, the Celtics hate the Heat, and he joined forces with them. I feel when you come up to him, like, damn, he just left us to go there. I mean, it wasn't about the money, you know. I mean, of course, that. So it's one of those things. I mean, hey, right now, you know, yeah, you're the enemy. Maybe when the season's over with or something, whatever, then maybe, you know, they do what they do. So now, hey, man, he don't want to be bothered.
All right, let me talk to
And also, too, the same team that knocked you out, you was one game away going to the finals, the same team that knocked you out in a game seven. So, you know, one of those things.
Ray Allen did what he was supposed to do.
And let me put let me get the call here. Wally, what's up? What you got to say about this?
I personally can only speak as an athlete, and I know the majority of us have been in athletics, but while I played football, my real sport was wrestling. And when I got on that mat, or when I got in that arena where we were on that mat, I didn't want to be bothered. I didn't want to be talked to because I was in the zone. And I didn't have no friends. All I wanted to do was get on that mat and beat the shit out of somebody. And I know how that feels. But at the same time, you know, I can understand why that basketball player, you know, shooting that ball is not the easiest thing in the world. You have to get yourself in the zone to make them shots. So I can see where it doesn't matter what's coming to you, you are focused. But at the same time, I understand what happened with Urlacher also. You know, if this is your friend, you see your friend make a good play, what's wrong with saying, hey, man, that was a damn good play? Ain't nothing wrong with that. I don't care what team he's on. You're not looking at him as a Texan. You're looking at him as a friend, and you went and said, good job, as a friend. So other than that, I don't understand the issue myself.
It's making something out of something that which is nothing, you know what I mean? I seen, like I said, we all seen the play live. I seen it. Like, man, I was like, Urlacher, what are you doing? I wasn't like that.
Right.
Okay. It was just like that little briefing. Went on to did his thing.
All right, so I'm going to change the subject here. I'm going to put you back on hold here, Wiley. I'm going to put you right back on it's pretty soon.
All right.
Now, we're going to get – this is a little drama related here. Tim Tebow, there was a anonymous players –
came
out.
it's football talk, baby.
Anonymous players came out and said that Tim Tebow was terrible. They came out and they were not. And when one player admitted to what he said, I forgot his name. Admitted, you know, he was one of the players.
Matt Slauson.
Okay, and then a few other players, they left their names anonymous and they came out and said that he was terrible. Do you think that was a good thing for the Jets to do? Because you never, because Mark Sanchez is not playing well, so you never know. Tim Tebow may be coming into the starting lineup, you know. And you know, obviously football is a team game. So, what do you think about that? Do you think that was a good idea? What's your opinion on the whole situation? Let me start with you, Tex.
Well, the first things first is this kind of stuff. That's part of the Jets culture. You know, that's thin vibe. That's what they are. They're dysfunctional. They talk. They don't get along. And, of course, on any team, you have to find me a team where there's going to be 53 guys all getting along with each other. It's not going to happen. When you go out in between the white lines, you're together. You want to win. But this is the Jets culture. And I mean, you shouldn't anonymously say stuff. I mean, I'm kind of indifferent about that. I don't care. But, I mean, you know, this Slauson is, you know, he's being honest. Why can't these guys be honest and say, no, it's not even close? Yeah, Tim Tebow is terrible. You know, they say, you put Tebow into the game. I mean, what is that going to do for you? And Sanchez, he's not having the best year. He's struggling. I understand he has the lowest completion percentage in the league, but, you know, his guys around him have not helped him out. I mean, the Jets are devoid of talent. You understand what I'm saying? They go out, they give up a whole bunch of draft picks to draft one guy. You know what I'm saying? They do stuff like that. You know, they get guys like Santonio Holmes. You know, they're right now they're short of talent. Sanchez having his problems, but
when he's been on the money, his guys let him down. His wide receivers drop balls. The whole line doesn't block worth anything. They just – it's a whole bunch of stuff going on. But, yeah, Tebow is – they just say what we think about Tebow. You understand what I'm saying? You look at Denver now, and they're putting up 30-some points a game. You know, it's just because Tebow, you know, he's open you know, he's open about his faith. He's a good guy. So, they shouldn't talk about Tim Tebow. You know, it's like we can't – It's like he can't be, you know, you can't talk about him being terrible because he's the guy you want your daughter to date. You understand?
No, but what I'm saying is, I understand what you're saying, Tex. Well, my thing is, shouldn't you let the analysts do that? Don't let the players, I don't think, should be saying that. My personal opinion, I think it was wrong for them to say that publicly. I think the players should, you know, focus on playing. Let the analysts.
Well, I told you,
let the analysts go out and say he's terrible. Let them do that.
But we all know. I mean, we was thinking that anyway. And somebody team actually said it. You know what I'm saying? But
we all think he's terrible. It's fair to say everybody on this panel thinks he's a terrible. Well, I think he can make plays when the game's on line. But in general, we all think. Yeah, he's not a starting quarterback, but
Kane made plays with the game.
I think he was wrong. Oh, see, that's what we all disagree. But I'm saying I think the player was wrong for doing that. He should have just said nothing.
But hold
on, Carmelo.
This wasn't just a player. This was players and staff.
I don't think they should have said that. I don't think they should have said that.
Coaches in there.
Exactly, and I don't think none of those
coaches in there.
Yeah,
I don't go by what analysts say. If these guys are watching this dude in practice, and they're going, okay. I mean, like I say, you notice how the tone of the team is different. Like last year when San Antonio Holmes was making a big huff about Sanchez being in magazines and this and that. You notice how that's not being the issue anymore from the players. They're keyed on this.
No.
Tim Tebow. That's because they're seeing this in practice. If you notice, when Tim Tebow, when he was in Denver, and Demaryius Thomas and all them cats was like, yes, we want Peyton Manning here. There's no doubt. It wasn't, you know, it's like, what is everybody talking about?
Yeah. I mean, even Chad said it's so much easier to play defense now.
I'll say this, personally, I think he's not a good quarterback right now, but I do want him to succeed. I don't think he deserved that right there from the jump. I really don't think he deserved that. Do I think they may have been right now? Do I think they may have been right now? Yes, I don't think he's a good quarterback right now, but, you know, I don't think
right
he deserves.
When is he supposed to? He ain't no moth and going to turn into no butterfly. What is he supposed to come into me? Like I said, once again, I don't want to have to make the link back to which conference he played for. SEC quarterback.
Whatever, man.
Hold on. In the same breath, you said that Carson Palmer was no good, and Carson Palmer is a quality quarterback.
What are you talking about? When did I say that?
Well, maybe that was Tony then. Y'all sound the same to me sometimes.
That's a shot right there. What'd you say?
Why do you want Tim Tebow to succeed? What does that mean?
I mean, you can't knock a brother that's going to go in there and do his best and don't even make any excuses. I ain't got no problem with that.
His best stinks, though.
I'm not saying he doesn't stink. I agree with you. He stinks. I'm not saying right now he's not a good quarterback. No. I think he can make plays, but I don't think he's – but see, that's where we disagree. I think he can make plays. He showed me that last year, but I don't think he can – I don't even want to get into that conversation right now, but I'm just saying that.
Let's look at his most famous play of last year, that big play to beat Pittsburgh. Did you really look at that play? Was that really a 10-point throw? Was that a wide receiver breaking free wide open? What does that tell you? I mean, come on now.
I'm not saying he's a good quarterback. I'm just saying things sort of changed. He's in there. He makes plays. He does make plays. Third down. He can run for a first down. He's doing – I mean, I'm just saying. When When Denver last year in Denver, when he wasn't in there, they were 1-4. When he got in there, they made the playoffs. I mean, you can't knock somebody for that.
And they're scoring 13.7 points.
Exactly. Let's go back to my three fundamental things.
They're giving up 10, 11, 9 points, 12 points, 11 points, you know? So, yeah, defense and special team made plays for Denver last year, not Tebow.
Exactly.
All right, man. All right, let me get the call here. Say what you guys say before I get to the callers.
No, I was going to say, with the Jets thing, I mean, yeah, like Mike said, I mean, that's just, they didn't go public about it. I don't even know how it is in media nowadays, you know, just was leaked, you know, that they were saying about it. But it's just, you know, I agree, like with Tex, he was saying the Jets is just not good. They're not as talented, you know, and I don't think, in my personal opinion, I don't think Rex Ryan ever wanted Tim Tebow. I think that was, you know, Woody Johnson's call. But, of course, he's like, Rex Ryan's going to stand by his guy. I heard his press conference today. He's going to stay by with Mark Sanchez. And I'll say from last year about Santonio Holmes. Santonio Holmes made some drops, especially in that Miami game. And we all know, you know what I'm saying, I don't think Santonio Holmes is a one receiver, even though he didn't pay to be a one receiver. So, really, Mark Sanchez doesn't have that receiver. He needs that receiver to make him a better quarterback. I don't know if Santonio Holmes is that guy for him. I think they need to get another receiver. And maybe another running back.
Let me see the caller here. 813.
I say that it's just like your best friend or your girlfriend or your brother, and you know them personally, so that when someone else is saying, oh, they're the greatest thing in the world, you're sitting there like, if you only knew. Or if they're saying, they're the horrible people. No, that's not who they really are. It's the same way in sports. Just like I hate Peyton Manning, and I told you why I hate Peyton Manning, it's because I followed Peyton Manning since he was 18 years old in Knoxville, Tennessee, at the University of Tennessee. I've seen him fail every single time he gets in a big game. It's the same way with Tebow. Tebow sucks. And because Tebow sucks, when he's in practice and these people that are with him every day, that sees him every day, that has to deal with him every day, they know he sucks. So when they keep hearing all these people say, well, what do you think? Are they going to put Tebow in? Are they going to put Tebow sucks. No, they shouldn't put him in because he sucks.
Oh, boy, University of Florida, right?
What? I was at the University of Florida when Tebow was at the University of Florida.
So the greatest any college quarterback, maybe the greatest college quarterback career ever, and he sucks.
Oh please,
say
come on, man!
Say that.
That greatest
time.
College football quarterback is media. That's the media.
I said one of the greatest
Tebow
careers ever.
Not
yes,
the greatest
so that's not up for debate.
Football quarterback ever.
He said he had one of the greatest careers ever. He did. He won every award there was, correct?
He won two national championships, one of which he didn't even play on.
Okay, well, he won in the championship, and he won Heisman.
Okay, he's not the only quarterback from Florida to do that.
Once again.
Yeah, he's not even better. Tim Tebow's not even better than Danny Werfel, in my opinion.
Exactly.
He's not even better than Danny Werfel. I don't know.
And the high
school. Danny Werfel was good.
And he's not even better than Charlie Ward.
And he loves God. He's a preacher right now.
Yeah, that's the big aura about Tim Tebow. Like, you know, he's all Christian and stuff like that. But in terms of him in college football, is he one of the greatest college football quarterbacks ever lived? No, man, he's not.
No.
He's not even better than Charlie Ward,
man.
Let me
ask you a question.
Come on, man.
Why isn't he? Why
he's not better than Michael Vick.
Why isn't he?
Why isn't he?
Why do I not think he's better than somebody like a Charlie Ward or a Danny Waffle? Because I saw all three of them play. When
because
I saw all three of them play, the one that looked
like
better than me was Charlie Ward.
I was
that's what I'm
saying. First of all, did you really watch Charlie Ward play?
Absolutely,
no,
I watched
no.
Charlie Ward. I sure did.
Football,
I sure
football,
did.
You were 10 years old, just like me. So did you really
no,
watch
I was
Charlie
all,
Ward?
I was
no,
in the
no,
seventh
no.
grade.
Let,
I was in the seventh
let
grade.
Me just, Do I get
I
to
watched
tell
Charlie
you
Ward.
Tebow?
Charlie Ward was better than Tim Tebow.
Can
I
tell
watched
you
Charlie
you
Ward. Yes,
Tebow
I did.
Was
10 years old now. Come on now.
Can I
now,
tell
I
you
watched
Tebow
every snap and
there?
I said, yeah.
I can
you
tell you about Tebow.
Charlie
I
Ward.
Was on the campus of the University of Florida when Tim Tebow was there. Why
he
is he
dominant.
Considered so great? Because the team he played with was great. The players he played with were great players. Lots of them are in the NFL right now, and they
hold
made
on.
Him
any of those,
look
any
good.
Of those
he didn't make them look
NFL
good. They made him look good.
Hernandez.
Any of those wide receivers besides Percy Harvin.
Hernandez, tight end, Hernandez.
Who was Aaron Hernandez. Come on now. That's a tight end, and he wasn't dominant at a University of Florida. I think he was injured.
He was pretty good. He was pretty good. Let me put you on hold here. I got another call here. Let me put you on hold. 850.
We got drafted too.
Hey yo, what's up, guys? What's going on?
What's up,
man?
Hey, first off, I'd like to start off by saying that Mark Griffin is a better quarterback than Warren Moon. The thing here about
that was a shot, Wiley. That was a shot, Wiley. I don't know if you got that. But anyway.
But the real joke, though, that was bad about Tim Tebow. The thing here is that, I mean, people are giving him credit for what he supposedly did at Denver. But at the same token, you're hearing, I think it was Kelly Mike said before, you had the Mary Thomas talking about, hey, yeah, we want Peyton Manning. Remember, the thing was is that the coach for Denver at that time was the one that suggested to draft Tebow. You know, Elway goes, I want to pick Tebow and put him on that lineup, for one. And for two, even if you ask, the past players on Denver, Brian Dawkins said on NFL Live one time, he said they had to make adjustments because they knew that Tim Tebow himself couldn't make those, down-the-field plays. They had to play a ball control or a position type, offense and defense to keep the score low. Because if the thing got real, like a high-scoring game, they're going to be at a disadvantage. That being said, here in the New York Jets team, they don't even have the personnel, regardless of 10 people was there or not. And, I mean, pretty much everybody knows that right now. So whether if it's Sanchez there or Tebow there, the Jets are still going to have that same result, which is not much of a result at all. This ain't the Jets team they had 2 years ago or 3 years ago that went to the AFC title game.
Also, I was going to add, Tim Tebow was at Denver a year before John Elway got there, so we never know if John Elway was there. Tim Tebow may not be in Denver.
Yeah, he wouldn't have gotten Tim Tebow. John Elway would have never gotten Tim Tebow because John Elway wants.
Not in the first round.
Yeah, John Elway wants John Elway at quarterback.
And Callie Mike know what I mean on that because he was like, what is going on? The Broncos take Tim Tebow in the first round.
It was that was because of that coach, and he's been fired since then like he was supposed to be.
The second year,
Well, I mean, the thing is, I mean, I want to go back to this Tim Tebow thing. I mean, me personally, I've been on record and said I think he can make plays. Now, do I think he can make all the throws? Do I think he is accurate? Absolutely not. He's one out of the three on my list. So I think they should just give him a shot. I think he'll make some plays. Something will happen, and then they win.
You're saying he's accurate, but they should give him a shot. You're not ridiculous. Come on now.
All right, but I'm just saying, give him a shot, man. Just give him, look what happened last year in Denver. Just give him a shot. Just give him a shot. That's all I got to say.
Say that to Rex Ryan.
Rex Ryan won't do that. Rex Ryan won't do that. So,
you were saying that, well, that's Rex Ryan. I mean, Rex Ryan is pretty much like explaining it to y'all in a kind of, backdoor type of way that he is not really ready to put him in the game. He's like saying that he's in the one that's in, practicing the most and trying the hardest and everything like that. And he still ain't putting the guy in. That has to take it.
Yeah, like I had said, I don't know if you had heard when we were talking about it, I was saying that Rex Ryan, to me, Rex Ryan never wanted Tim Tebow with the Jets. You know, of course, he had to sell it, you know, because he's the head coach. That was up in upper management. I think probably Woody Johnson and, you know, Mike Tannenbaum may want it, but I think Woody Johnson wanted Tim Tebow. So,
That's probably part of that. And then they brought in who's the guy that got in for Miami? Tony Sperano.
Yeah, Tony Sperano, the offensive coordinator. You know, the system, yeah, you know, all that has not been too good. Like you said,
right.
They don't have the personnel.
Right.
Well, I mean, they're going to put him in there because what's going to happen is, you know what's going to happen. They're going to lose another game maybe. Let's say Sanchez starts, they lose the game. Everybody in the stands is going to start chanting his name. Upper the press box is going to hear that, the owners. And so the owners are going to be like, hey, you know what? He's going to tell Rex, you better put him in the game. That's what's going to happen.
Is that Rudy?
No, it's not going to be in the middle of a game. It's not going to be like that. But I'm just saying there's going to be pressure from the front office on Rex Ryan to put him in the game. I think that's what's going to happen. It's going to be the same thing that happened in Denver. Everybody was chanting Tebow's name when they were playing horrible with Kyle Orton, and then John Elway brought him up from third string to first string because he jumped. What's that guy's name? Brady Quinn.
Oh, dude, that's not what happened. They got injured.
No, that's not what happened. They took Kyle Orton out
and put Tebow.
And then he jumped Brady Quinn, and then he started the game. That's what happened. That's what happened. And I think that's going to happen here in New York. So, I don't know. Let me put you on hold here, James. Let me see what Wiley has to say.
I'm just going to say, Sanchez wants to play better next game, though.
I'm done with Tebow. Can we move on? Because I don't even want to talk about him. He sucks.
The guy doesn't want to talk about Tim Tebow. That's weird.
I didn't like Tebow at Florida. I don't like Tebow now. I was born and raised in Knoxville, Tennessee. I didn't like Peyton Manning at Tennessee. I don't like Peyton Manning now.
Well, Tony, you know them,
and they suck.
Well, Tony, you sound like a bit of a hater, man. You don't like any of those
dudes. I'm a hater for people that I know, and everybody else wants to suck on their cocks. And then
hey, come on,
they're so good, and I've seen them.
Where is the sponsor?
All right. Let me put you on hold then. We're going to change subject. I'm going to put you on hold here.
All right.
Now, yeah, we got 13 minutes left.
I was going to say about that one topic I guess we need to bring up since we're talking about quarterbacks.
That's what I was about to bring up next. Do you think Eli is an elite quarterback, Eli Manning? Let me start with you, Tex.
Yeah, Eli Manning is an elite quarterback. He's having a little tough go at it right now, but the Giants, as a team there, I mean, usually what they're good at doing, they're just not doing it right now. They're struggling everywhere. Wide receiver, running backs can't stay healthy. The defensive line isn't rushing the passer. They're having problems everywhere. You know, it's just a bad stretch. You know, everybody, they don't want to give. They'll never, ever give Eli Manning his due. So people are always waiting on the fall. But, you know, this guy's elite. He has two Super Bowl rings, one of the top clutch quarterback in the game, along with Roethlisberger. Of course he's elite.
So you put him in the same category with Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, and Drew Brees?
Mike, you got top six quarterbacks. To me, there are six elite quarterbacks, and Eli is one of them.
I wouldn't put Eli in that same category with them guys, Tex. I think he's above
I said top six. One, two, three, four, five, six. That's Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, and Eli Manning, top six. That's top fourth, man. You know, you got 32 teams in the league. Those are the elite quarterbacks in the NFL.
This is what I'll say right here. Like I said, here's my three principles for quarterbacks. Can he make all the throws? Is he accurate? And when the game's online, can he deliver? He may not necessarily make the best throws. He may not necessarily be the most accurate, but when the game's on the line, he's the best in the league, I think. Eli Manning right now. Right now, when the game's on the line, he's the best in the league. You got something to say,
like
Kelly?
I have a certain finish for these elite quarterbacks. I think that there's maybe five of them, and I put Eli Manning in there, like I said, over Ben Roethlisberger. Like I keep telling people, I mean, I don't even see, like I said, I mean, to me, every aspect, to me, everything everybody pumps Ben Roethlisberger up for, Eli Manning is better than him in doing. And, you know, like I said, for some reason, if you don't have that kind of star power, people don't like to call you elite or good and, you know, put you in a certain class of player. But, I mean, like I said, for all Ben Roethlisberger's done winning the Super Bowl, how accurate of a quarterback is he? I've seen him throw numerous interceptions, numerous times, and throws are just ridiculous, you know. But he can't come through in clutch situations when he's won Super Bowls. I'll give him that. But, I mean, you know, like I said, in terms of accuracy, I put Eli over him. You know, he has just any Super Bowls, and he's actually responsible for those Super Bowls, not just riding coattails. You know, I mean, what more does he need to do? Just because he has a couple of bad, like I said, Ben Roethlisberger had a couple of bad games. Everybody's not dropping him out of elite ranking, even though I didn't have him in there in the first place. But, I mean, you know what? You know, it's just people don't like Eli. No, really, people don't like Eli ever since when he first did, when he came in the league, where he refused to go to San Diego and, you know, start doing all that stuff. You know, people have always had a chip on their shoulder against him as being Peyton Manning's little brother. And, you know, but like I said, he's up there.
Also, right. I was reading about that. I heard his father, I guess, had something to do. Like, they didn't want, you know, the boys to be in the same conference, too. So, and, you know, each other to meet, you know, if they play against each other in the Super Bowl rather than playing against the conference championship. Not many people know about that.
All right, let me
go ahead.
Yeah, I was about to put it on a call here. Let me put a call here. Watley.
For me, of course, he's elite because what he can do is stand in front of any camera and say, anybody in the NFL that's got more Super Bowl rings than me, scream. And nobody will be able to scream. They might have as many as he's got, but ain't nobody in the NFL starting right now got more than he's got. So, you know, that makes him elite.
So is Terry Bradshaw a top five NFL quarterback of all time?
Without a doubt. He's a top
Terry
four.
Bradshaw?
Oh, my goodness. He's got four rings.
He's got four rings.
Four rings.
He's a top five
like
said, all time.
All that matters to me is the jewelry.
Yeah, the steel curtain, right? That don't matter. And the Franco
the
Harris
ring.
And Lynn Swan
four
and
rings.
Whatever.
Jewelry.
All
right.
So Terry Bradshaw is a top five all-time NFL quarterback.
All-time, yes. Him, Joe Montana.
Jim Plunkett's in there, too? Jim Plunkett's in there?
No way.
Let me any comments? I got to go to the next call here.
He's one
of the best Super Bowl quarterbacks, though. I mean, Bradshaw never lost a Super Bowl.
All right, let me put you on hold here, Watley. We got 7 minutes left. Let me go 850.
All right, I think the point has pretty much been made already that Eli Manning is an elite quarterback. I mean, Tony did. I mean, he has the 2 Super Bowl rings. To say that Brady is the only one, you know, currently playing right now that has more rings.
Roethlisberger is in the same boat, but you don't have hardly anybody else that can pretty much say that. This season he's probably having a social down year, but he's still on pace to get, you know, 4,000 yards passing.
Just like what was it last season? So
until, you know, it's proven otherwise, he's among the elite right now. Because you can hardly say that anybody is out there that's better than he is.
All right. Put you on hold here. We're gonna go to our last topic here. We got 6 minutes left. Who right now is NFL MVP right now? So far up to this date. Let me start with you, Tex.
With me, it's I'd probably have to go with Peyton Manning, although I'm real high on J.J. Watt as MVP right now. I'd probably say Manning or J.J. Watt, not sure who. I think Watt I think he's been the most dominant player in the league thus far. So I'm probably going with Watt. You can make an argument for several guys. You can make it for, you know, guys want to make it for Matt Ryan. I think you can make it for Peyton. You can make it for J.J. Watt. You can make it for, I thought you could have, before he got injured, I thought you could have made the case for Percy Harvin. Everybody wants to talk about AD, but, you know, Harvin was, you know, that's what Minnesota has is Harvin if they don't have AP. So, you know, but I think that J.J. Watt is, right now to me, he's MVP because he's just dominating. It's not even close. He's dominating.
All right. Shotown, what you got to say?
Well, I mean, it still needs to be more NFL playing, but some of the guys text names, Peyton Manning, you know, they've been talking with him, what he's doing. He's a guy who might get the MVP or definitely going to be a comeback player of the year. He definitely going to get some award, but, you know. And, you know, just, you know, Watt's having, you know, unbelievable year so far. I mean, Clay Matthews, you know, I said it from the start of our first show. He was a guy, I would say, being a defensive, you know, MVP or player of the year. But now he hurt, so it might take some of his lust out, you know, being out. So, I mean, just, you know, this or saying this name, I'm surprised Texans say it. And, you know, he's a rookie, Andrew Luck. I mean, the Colts are 6-3. The team that won one game last year or two games, now they already got 6 wins and, you know, position themselves possibly be making the playoffs or even winning the division. So let's say if that happens, you never know. He might end up being the MVP. Also being rookie of the year as well.
All right. Callie, what's
that? We'll go ahead.
Yeah, I got to go Callie's opinion because we only got 3 minutes, 50 seconds.
I got 3 guys who I got up there right now. I can't really differentiate in one of them. I got Peyton Manning up there. I got Adrian Peterson up there. I think he's having a heck of a season. He's really carrying them. I'm in for Harvin too. But you know, right now, AD, especially since he came back from his injury, he's a bull right now, man. Best running back in football right now. And I would also have to throw in. I have to throw Matt Ryan in there too. He's playing really good. Playing at a high level. You know, I gotta see how they're gonna finish up the season though. You know, still I think we're, you know, got a lot of games left, so you know, I should have a bigger, better picture of it maybe three or four more games.
All right. Let me see. I think I got between Peyton and Adrian Peterson. Yeah, like you said, I do like J.J. Watt. I definitely see him as defensive player of the year. But I'm more like, if you want to talk about comeback player of the year, I think I would give the edge more so to Peterson than Peyton Manning for some reason, because I think what Peyton Manning is doing is not really that surprising, whereas Adrian Peterson. Well, I don't know. I think Adrian Peterson is, we were a little bit more shocked than Peyton Manning because that injury he had last year looked pretty bad. So for him to come back and look like he's like the number one player and running back in the league, I think that's more impressive to me. But that's just my opinion.
With technology we got these days with ACL, and I understand that, though. I mean, everybody comes back, you know, sooner now than they did, you know, 25 years. But you talking about a neck, man, nerve generation. They talking about he might not, you know, taking a hit and throwing the ball. I mean, he couldn't do that.
Well, I mean, look at it like this, too. Is Peyton Manning, is he, besides MVP, is he the top quarterback in the league? I mean, wouldn't we still take Brady, Rodgers, and Breeze over him right now?
Yeah.
In terms of quarterback for your team? Right now, Adrian Peterson
is the conversation
right
now, Wiley.
Peterson is the number one running back in football.
Hold on, hey, let Wiley say one thing before we have to leave.
For me, just like I said earlier, America loves Peyton Manning just like America hates Michael Vick. So because Peyton Manning is doing well, he will win the MVP. But again, I told you last week and the week before, to me, Adrian Peterson is the most valuable player for his team in the league.
Any comments on that?
I mean, like I said, you can argue for several players, and I mean, have y'all watched J.J. Watt on the Houston defensive line? Anybody?
Okay, he's dominated right now. I like to see him get a. Like I said, I mean, I got to see the next couple of 3 or 4 games. I mean, if he gets a higher sack total, then yeah. But you know, like I said, he's dominant right now. That's for sure.
But he's not winning games. The MVP is the person who wins the game.
You have 20 seconds, Joe.
I'd say Peyton Manning is the most valuable player for his team, too.
Look at his
team now. He's scoring. Yeah.
All right. This CMT5 Storm, you want to call in next Wednesday? Show's over. Good talking to everybody. Peace out.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Quarterback like Johnny Lou Jack or even Sid Luffin, as a matter of fact. Do you remember Red Brains, the galloping ghost? He could do a 95 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Y-A-10-0.